Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Time to get you dialed into the biggest stories of the day. This is the Daily 10 with Matt Chernoff.
All right, it's time for the Thursday edition of the Daily 10. Thanks so much for making us a part of your day, wherever it is you get your favorite podcast. Subscribe, follow, and I'll be waiting for you each and every day. We are brought to you by the Daily Draft in downtown Woodstock. Easy to find on Main Street. Easy to find online. TheDailyDraft.net. It is the perfect time to check out the Daily Draft. It is not your father's sports bar. This is a unique sports bar experience. From the moment you walk through the doors, or actually before you walk through the doors, you'll see the window right there outside. You can order drinks right there from the window, hang out at the Daily Draft, walk around downtown Woodstock. When you walk through the doors, you'll see the craft beer bar, pool tables, darts, wall-to-wall flat screens, a wonderful menu. This is not deep-fried sports bar food. This is great options. My favorite are the flatbreads. The wings are great. A great burger, sandwiches, pastas, you name it, they have it all. When you mention the Daily 10, they'll give you 10% off your lunch order. That happens at the Daily Draft. One more reminder, till the end of this month, New Realm fans, when you make a New Realm Brewing Company purchase, it's a flight or a pint, they're going to take a percentage of that, donate it directly to Camp Twin Lakes all month long. All right, special edition of the Daily 10. Let me bring in friend of the show, Eric Cole. He's the deputy manager of Talking Chop, site manager as well of MLB Daily Dish. He hosts many a podcast that we'll let him promote here in a moment, but he's kind enough to join us as a preview, kind of the look ahead to the trade deadline. And Eric, I know the other side of this gets a lot of attention. What might the Braves look to acquire in a deal? Let's kind of flip it, though. I want to ask you what the Braves might be willing to give up ahead of the deadline. And let's start with the untouchable word, because for years there might have been Ronald Acuna untouchable, right? There might have been Ozzie Albies. Are there any untouchables in the Braves system right now?
I wouldn't call him untouchable simply because there's just so much redundancy between the Braves' really young major league roster, and they just have a lot of different types of options that they can go with in their minor league system too. You know, you might look at like someone like William Contreras and Shea Langeliers. You probably don't trade both of those guys, but you probably plan on one of those guys being your catcher of the future, right? Same thing with Christian Pache, Drew Waters, Michael Harris. Those are all high-level outfield prospects. You probably don't need all three, but you probably need to keep one or two. But I think that depending on what the deal that presents itself to you and what you think your timeline is, what your plans are for free agency, things like that, those are kind of like where the considerations should be. So I don't think they empty the farm system necessarily, because they certainly have some holes they need to fill going forward. But at the same time, there's not like a guy who's like a top 10 prospect in baseball that you're like, we can't move him. He's the guy we build around in the future. There's a lot of like guys who could be really interesting, whether it be pitchers or, you know, pitchers players. But you just have to kind of figure out who you kind of want to keep long term, and, you know, depending on what the deal presents itself for you.
So let me ask you specifically about a name like Drew Waters, who, and this happens with prospects, you get hot and bothered by them. There's prospect fatigue, and, you know, it kind of ebbs and flows. If the Braves were to listen on anything involving Drew, I imagine it still has to be for something coming back that has years remaining on a deal to make it worth their while.
Absolutely. You don't trade a guy. I mean, by most counts, Drew Waters is still a top 100 prospect, and that's a switch hitting outfielder that hits for power, is hitting a lot better for average now, you know, can feel the position, has a strong arm. I mean, you don't just give up a guy like that for a guy that you're going to play for a month and a half, right? So, you know, you need to get some years of control if you're going to trade a guy like that. And, you know, there's maybe a couple guys out there, you know, maybe you include a Drew Waters in a trade for a Byron Buxton, for example. Now, there's separate problems with, you know, dealing for Buxton simply because he's made of glass. But, you know, in terms of a guy who has real ceiling but also has another year of control, like, that makes more sense than simply trading, a really high-quality prospect for a guy that you're only going to play for a couple months.
So if we assume the Braves don't shock us and make some big deal, if we are talking about rentals, and that would mean probably not listening on any of the names you just mentioned, Waters, Harris, Pache, the catchers. Give me some names sort of in the Bryce Ball kind of realm of the prospect list for the Braves that they would be willing to move because they just have numbers at a position, or they're willing to move off them.
So when you start talking about redundancy in the Braves system, the places where they have it are in the outfield, and at starting pitcher. Those are like the two easy answers to like where you'd be looking for. So guys like Justin Dean and Trey Harris, who are both at Double A. Trey had a slow start to the season, but he's like a former organizational player of the year, and we, you know, everyone seems to think that he will hit. A guy that probably isn't in the Braves' plans going forward simply because they have so many other guys that are going to be playing in the outfield. And then Justin Dean, who can really fly, steal a bunch of bases, gets on base at a high clip. He's kind of that prototypical leadoff guy type, but, you know, gets stronger than you think, too. He's just a really great teammate as well. Again, guys that are in that those teens of the rankings, you know, like maybe like 17, 18, somewhere in that line or maybe a little bit lower. That's where you kind of look at for there. But now, and then if you're looking at the pitchers, I mean, if you think about right now where the Braves' pecking order is, for starting pitchers, considering Tucker Davidson's hurt, but when he comes back, you want to see him play. Oscar Inoa, same thing. He's hurt, but when he comes back, you want to give him a chance to. You know, you obviously have Mike Soroka, and then you have the guy who's been performing well, like Kyle Muller, who's sitting there in the rotation. What is the future of Kyle Wright and Bryce Wilson in this organization? And I think, frankly, a lot of people are like, you know, it's not that they necessarily hate those guys, just that how many opportunities are going to exist going forward in the Braves rotation? And that's where I would start looking to. Maybe you deal a Kyle Wright. Maybe you deal a Bryce Wilson to kind of make a play for, you know, a player that might help you a little bit in the short term here, simply because they just don't have futures in your organization. And at some point, you're just hanging on to guys just to hang on to guys. So maybe that's kind of the route that they go. It kind of depends on the players that are available. Ultimately, the Braves are bad enough where you don't want to push in on this season to trade and empty out your farm system to go after the big rental plays, I don't think. But, you know, maybe you go after a couple guys who might help you a little bit, and in which case you kind of, you know, start looking at those guys who, frankly, just aren't going to probably be around for very much longer anyway.
I think you bring up, yeah, two names there with Bryce and Kyle that, like, you'll never know what they are unless you give them consistent opportunities. And the Braves are in that weird spot, even in, quote, a disappointing year where they're still trying to compete. So, like, you got to come up and pop, right? You got to, you know, give me Kyle Muller or, you know, Tukey. So, had a bunch of chances. Now, Tukey's showing you some stuff. So, if we've assumed those two are pieces that they would listen on, what about other pitchers like De La Cruz or Tarnock? Like, are those guys that they would say we have enough depth that we can move off of?
Those guys are definitely in the conversation, too. You're talking about two very different players there, though. Tarnock's on the rise. He's a guy that kind of had stalled at high A for a little while and was a raw prospect when the Braves drafted it. But then all of a sudden, he comes back from injury this year. And again, it was just kind of a minor injury that he was kind of rehab through the spring. But he comes back and he plays really well for high A Rome, gets promoted to Double A, and he strikes out 9 in his Double A debut. So he's a guy that's kind of peaking a bit. And, you know, maybe you think he's not that guy and you sell high. But if you think that maybe you figure something out with him, maybe you want to hang on to him. De La Cruz is kind of the opposite. Is the guy that was like really peaking high for a couple of years, you know, was part of a no-hitter, was, you know, missing a bunch of bats, had a really great breaking ball, and then he's gotten the AAA and he can't command the ball at all. And I'm actually not particularly convinced at all that he's even a starter anymore. And that's kind of a more of a, you know, cut your losses type of move where you're like, okay, this isn't the guy that we need to be devoting a 40-man roster spot to. This isn't the guy that's necessarily going to be in our future going forward, which is a thing that happens when you have as many starting pitching prospects as the Braves do. This guy just don't work out. But if you've looked at him recently, he's looked pretty rough down there in Gwinnett. He's just been kind of getting roughed up. So kind of two different guys, but guys that certainly aren't going to be guys that the Braves, I think, would be, you know, super attached to per se if the right deal came along. But it kind of does depend a little bit on the context of the deal with both of them.
So, Eric, let me ask you about some of the more recent draft picks. If we both kind of go back to the point of not rentals, because rentals are just, you know, pieces you're going to trade depth for. But if there's a piece that could help now, and Alex always liked to have the option to bring a guy back, would they listen on any of the Shoemakes, Franklins, any of those guys, Striders over the last couple of years?
I don't necessarily think so. I think that a lot of those guys are still trying to figure out. It turns out that 2019 and 2020 draft class are both very, very good. you have Spencer Strider, who's probably a top six prospect in the system now, and they drafted him in the fourth round of a five-round draft last year. Jesse Franklin's like leading the league in home runs.
Yeah.
You have, you know, Shoemake is kind of a guy that is interesting in the sense that the one thing he was going to always do was hit, and then for the first month and a half of the season, he didn't do that at all in Double A. But it seems like he's kind of figured something out and, you know, made an adjustment. Now all of a sudden, he's hitting really well again. And one place they don't have a ton of depth in their minor league system is in the infield. There's not a better shortstop prospect in the system than Shoemake right now. The only other guy that really plays infield that, you know, is particularly exciting, just coming like off the top of my head, is Vaughn Grissom down there in Augusta, and he's a ways away. So you have to kind of way is also the kind of the depth where you have the depth in your system and where you deal from. I don't know if that's necessarily the play that I would make, but, you know, in terms of those 2019, 2020 draft class guys, I suppose it's possible, but I think it's more likely that we're kind of dealing with some of the redundancy of with some guys that they probably know a little bit better and kind of know what they're giving away.
So, again, if we assume the big deal isn't out there and you do have to peek ahead, because as much as everybody talks about dealing prospects, 2022 is going to come, and the Braves have to face a future without Marcell Ozuna, which means you're going to have two outfield spots to fill, which is what's going to bring me back to your thoughts on Pache, Waters, how quickly Harris can be involved. I mean, is there some reality where midway through 2022, Michael Harris is knocking on the door, Drew Waters is here, and Pache and those guys are battling for two spots?
It's entirely possible, for sure. I mean, obviously, one spot's going to be, you know, penciled in for Ronald Acuna Jr., but, you know, there's also going to be a period of time where, you know, he's not going to be playing at the beginning of 2022. That's just not going to mean, it just takes a long time to recover from that ACL injury. So maybe they give one of those guys who's already on the 40-man roster, which I would assume would be Pache for sure, as kind of an example there where he, you know, sees if he can, like, make an audition to keep a spot for going forward. Harris is a little bit trickier simply because there's a lot to like about what Harris is doing right now, and he's certainly making adjustments to kind of, like, walk a little bit more, not necessarily, you know, trying to put the ball in play as much as he has been, you know, be a little bit more patient. We just need to see him show a little bit more power, and I kind of like that the Braves have been a bit moving him a little slower than maybe one would think coming going into the season when you had all those lofty comps, you know, the left-handed Acuna type stuff that we were hearing in spring training. That was never particularly a fair comparison. And at the end of the day, he's still hitting really well down there in Rome. He's a big contributor for that Rome team. But taking their time with him, I think, makes a ton of sense. I don't know if I would necessarily pencil him in as a guy that's a 2022 guy. But right now, just kind of giving him some time, learning how to take it back a little bit better, showing that power in games, which he absolutely has. He put on a show in batting practice at the Futures game this year. So it's not like he can't hit the ball out. But he just hasn't done that a whole lot in games, so just kind of give him a chance with that power play, figuring some more things out. But Drew Waters and Christian Pache, I absolutely could see them competing for spots, which is going to be important because we don't know the fate of Marcell Ozuna whatsoever, and we don't know the fate of Freddie Freeman either. And, you know, when you're talking about the two biggest bats in your, well, in, on paper anyway, two among the bigger bats in your lineup, possibly not even being in your lineup, they're going to have to figure out something out.
So last thing before we let you go, if no big deal comes and those prospects are still here, do we see Drew Waters in the bigs at the end of the season?
It's entirely possible. He's certainly been playing better lately, and he's been hitting the ball of power to the opposite way from both sides of the plate the last month or so. So it's just, you know, it's keeping that strikeout rate down. It's kind of being able to show that he's really refined that approach at the plate. You know, the knock on him was just always that he struck out too much, and everyone was just convinced that he was going to strike out half the time whenever he got up to the major leagues. But if he continues to show that he's hitting and he's not, you know, having those approach problems that he did have at times during his career, I mean, right now, what the Braves are running out there, no one's blocking him at the major league level, right? So you have to ultimately kind of decide that maybe you want to give him a chance, give him some at-bats. But, you know, there's a lot of, you know, there's service time considerations and all that stuff, but there's also one to take care of the player and take care of your club, too. So if the Braves are two games back and they're still running out Guillermo Heredia out there every day in the outfield, they probably need to make a different decision.
Eric, again, is a great read always. Great work he does with Talking Chop and MLB Daily Dish. Give me a quick second on your podcast. Promote those where people can hear them.
Absolutely. The easiest way to find my voice is to go to whatever podcast provider you prefer and search Talking Chop. And if you get on that feed, there are two podcasts on that feed. One is the flagship Talking Chop podcast, which is hosted by the great Brad Rowland. And I am a regular co-host on that. And there's also The Road to Atlanta, which is hosted by myself as well as, you know, with various members of the Talking Chop minor league crew, where it's strictly just a Braves minor league prospect list. And if you want to listen to or want to look at the site this week, an interview with one Spencer Schwellenbach will be going up later this week.
So. My favorite name. My favorite name in the system. I love it.
it's a mouthful for sure.
Eric, you are a media mogul all over the place. Thank you for making time for us. Always love to pick your brain, my friend. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, we are brought to you by The Daily Draft, downtown Woodstock, easy to find on Main Street. Again, thedailydraft.net is where you want to go. Stop by for lunch today. Tell them you heard The Daily 10. That's the promo code 10% off your lunch order. I'll be on the radio this afternoon on 680 The Fan in Atlanta. Back again tomorrow for the next edition of The Daily 10.
Subscribe to The Daily 10 now and get the latest breaking news and biggest stories of the day every morning. Get more at 680thefan.com or subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google, or wherever you get your favorite shows.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Braves season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.